Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
You have heard it said, perhaps, that beauty is only skin deep. There is a thin veneer that proclaims that it is Christian. We trust Jesus. That's what we say. Yet when trouble comes, do you first go to your doctor? Or your medicine cabinet? Do you first go to your financial advisor or to someone who really knows? Or to the internet? Do you take your troubles to who? The name of Jesus is the one that we take our troubles to because we know that He has the answer. Too many people do not know. Who do you trust? Who do you trust? There was a man who walked down amazed at the city skyline. He walked down the street, and he was looking up at the wonderful buildings of glass and steel above him, and he stepped into a manhole. Someone had removed the cover. And he fell down into a deep pit. Well, once he kind of got himself together and he realized he couldn't get himself out, he began to look at the mill cover, the manhole cover. And pretty soon a shadow passed by. And he said, "Help! Can you help me? I'm down here." And this attorney looked over, dropped him his card, and said, "I can't help you, but you get out of there and we'll sue the city." The man just shook his head. A little while later, he saw another shadow coming over. And he yelled out, "Help! Can you help me?" The person with a clerical collar looked over and said, "No, I can't help you, but I can pray for you." Finally, this shadow passed over his manhole cover, and the man was just about exhausted, and he said, "Help! I'm down here. Can you help me?" The face looked over into the manhole cover, and he said, "Is that you, Joe?" He said, "Yeah, it's me. I'm down here in a pit, and I can't get out." He said, "Well, move over, right there to that corner, there. There, move over there." And then he jumped in. And Joe looked at this guy, and he said, "Charlie, why did you do that? Now we're both down here." Charlie said, "But I've been down here before, and I know the way out." Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we know that you sent your Son to come down into the pit with us, to be here with us and to show us the way home. Father, we thank you and praise you. May everything that has breath praise you today. Father, we know that the very name that you've set above all other names, that there is power in that name of Jesus. We ask that we would turn to Him first. He has told us to cast all of our cares, all of our desires, all of our wants and our needs on Him. Too often, it seems as though we go to an expert instead of to Jesus. Father, forgive us. May we turn toward you. May our Christianity not be a veneer, not just something a third of an inch thick. May it be something that comes from within and comes out of us. May we begin to look more and more, day by day, like Jesus, May we begin to sound more like Jesus. May we begin to think more like Jesus. Father, you've begun this process with us. We ask that you complete it, that you bring it to completion. Father, we are gathered here in your name, in the name of your Son, Jesus, to praise you and worship you in spirit and in truth. And we ask that if there be anything that I should say, that a man should say, that would in fact in any way keep others from hearing the word that you would tell us, then cast it out, Father. It's of no earthly use at all. Father, we ask that you would be with us and that you would speak to us. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Would you turn with me to Mark, the 4th chapter, verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was asleep in the stern on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" It was a long day for Jesus. Maybe you've had a long day in your life from time to time. Maybe you've struggled with all that was placed on you in that particular day. Maybe at the end of that day you just collapsed. You thought, "I just can't do any more. I've done everything I can do. I can't do more." Jesus' day had begun with accusations that he was in league with Satan. These accusations were brought by the Pharisees. The Pharisees said it is by Beelzebub that he's able to cast out these demons. He was struggling with the powers that be. He was struggling, trying to show the people the truth that would set them free. His own family came, his family, to try to take him by force because they thought he was out of his mind. They didn't understand what he was saying. They didn't understand that this same Jesus who had grown up with them was suddenly doing mighty works. They didn't understand where that power came from. And so they were trying to take him away by force. And then he told parables all day long from the deck of a boat. He told about the parable of the sower and the purpose of the parables. He talked about the parable, the sowers explained, etc., etc. He talked and talked and talked. And while he was there, he healed people and he touched people. And he met people's needs. At the end of the day, he was exhausted. He was exhausted because he had done the right thing. He knew what was going to happen when he said to the men, "Let us cross over to the other side." He knew that there would be a demoniac waiting. He knew that that man was going to rush onto him with chains that had been broken, that nobody could bind nor loose. He knew that he was about to be confronted with that, and yet he said, let's go across the other side. The Galilee is 7 miles wide. It's 13 miles long, 150 feet deep. It's 680 feet below sea level, and all around it there are mountains. And the wind comes up, and it crosses those mountains, and it comes down to the Galilee. I have been there when the Galilee was very greatly disturbed, and they wouldn't move a boat across it. But there were little boats out there with him, because Josephus says that there were 300 boats that were all fishing boats, because people learned that it was better to fish by night, not by day. And so everybody was going to have this storm come upon them. And these are seasoned sailors. These are people who know what is going to happen. But the waves are 20 feet high, and they're splashing and they're rolling the boat, and they're coming in, and Jesus is asleep. My goodness gracious. He's asleep on the stern, on a pillow. And finally, some of the people who are there awaken Jesus and say to Jesus, do you not care that if we perish? Jesus says to the sea, be still. Peace, shalom, be as it ought to be. Be calm, stay calm. And the wind ceased immediately, and the waves went back to normal. Jesus, when he said these things, disturbed his disciples. His disciples, who had seen him do everything, they'd seen him heal. They'd seen him raise a lady from the dead. They'd seen all these things. They'd seen him cast out demons. They'd seen all these things. And yet they wanted more. And Jesus looked at them and he said, is your faith so small? Do you not understand? Why is your faith? Where is your faith? And they, instead of being comforted, were terrified. They were frightened. It says they looked at him in awe. And they said to themselves, who is this man that even the winds and the waves hear him? Who is this man? It had happened for him. It had happened for all of those people out in the boats. They too had been, the 300 boats that were with him had that same storm. That same storm that everybody is going through in life. Maybe you've been out in the storms. Maybe you are facing something that is an illness that has suddenly come upon you. Maybe each of us knows that a little bit. Maybe you've heard this story before. Maybe you've read it. Maybe you've heard it from a teacher or a preacher. Maybe you've understood the story at least in the veneer, in the thin slice that goes on the outside. When storms come into our life, who do we look to? Do we look to the government to pass laws or enforce the laws that are on the books? Who do we look to? Do we perhaps look at doctors and let them advise us as to what is wrong with our bodies? Do we say to ourselves, well, this is just too big for God. He needs help. I'm going to bring in everybody who can help me. Let me tell you this. Jesus doesn't need any help. He has all the power that he needs. Jesus is big enough, powerful enough to say to the winds and the waves in your life, peace, be calm, stay calm. Why are you afraid? You know, why are we afraid when we have seen in our very midst so many miracles, so many divine interventions of God, so much love, so much of the things that we can't give Him. We can't give one another. Why can God do what we can't do? Why doesn't God do it the way we want Him to do it? Because He is not a genie in a bottle. He is Almighty God. The divine nature of Christ, the divine nature of Christ means that when you have a panic attack coming on, you look first to Him. You don't look to anyone else. You don't look for the bottle that contains the self-prescribed thing that you take. Your circumstances are in His hand. He uses them. Yes, He even uses them to correct us, but He also uses them to perfect us. To each person, their life is going to be one that has a storm to go through. When you became a Christian, you instantly went into a storm. You became a part of the cosmic struggle between God and Satan. Satan doesn't like you because you believe in God. He doesn't like you because you believe in Jesus. And he'll do anything he can to drag you down and pull you down with him to hell. But Jesus has all the victory in his wings. He can lift you up. He's been here before and he knows the way out. He knows how to lift us up. And he wants to do just that. When he says to the blind man or the deaf man or the man who's lame, arise and be healed, he reaches out his hand to lift that person up so that their faith can then trigger in. People who reacted the way that the disciples react are called in Greek cowardly fear. It is a word that is used to describe cowardly fear. Are we cowards? Do we fear God because we're cowards? No. We fear God because we're reverent. Only the blessed assurance of God Himself can overcome that fear. That fear. Jesus tells them to believe in Him. They seem to take His words at face value, because they ask the question, who is this man? Well, he's not just a man. They've been with him over and over again. They've attributed everything he's done to other people, to Satan and to others. They have seen him in operation. They know that he is special, but they don't know that he is God. Jesus is not a mystery to us because we say, who is he? He is a Savior to whom we turn with our needs and fears, knowing that he cares and will help. He sees us, recognizes us. He hears our voice calling out to him, just as the man did when he jumped into the pit and helped Job. When there is no place else to go, we find that that's the time we turn to God. After we've turned to the doctors and the financial advisors, and after we've looked in our own pockets and raked our own brains over and looked at the internet and tried to find answers, then we look at God. Wouldn't it be better if the first place we chose to find the answer was Jesus Christ? Comes down into our pit. He tells us that he and he alone knows the way out. He comes to be with us when we're down and out. He comes to be with us when the waves are sweeping us under. He is there in the very midst of us. Why do we not believe that? We live hopefully faithful lives that serve Him. And if we do, we will know the abundant life. When you know Jesus as your personal Savior and your Lord, you will feel the comfort that only His presence can bring. When you believe in your heart that He has the ultimate power, that He died for your sins, that He rose from the grave, that He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and that He's coming again, you will have that assurance. You will know He lives forever and ever and wants you to be with Him. Therefore, you will not run away. You will run to His open arms. There was a young man who shows us in a way what the thin veneer that most people have of Christianity is. He was spending the night with his grandfather, and it was a stormy night. It was a night when the windows banged, and there was a lot of sound outside with the thunder and the lightning and the rain sheets came coming down in a great deluge. And yet, this young boy, who was upstairs and supposed to be asleep, was awake, and he cried down, "Grandfather, Grandfather!" Grandfather replied, "Yes, son, what's wrong?" And he said, "Well, I'm scared. I'm scared of the storm." He said, "Well, Jesus is with you. You don't need to be frightened. Go back to sleep." The young boy tried to go back to sleep, but then the thunderclap came and he awakened it again, and he began to scream and holler, and, "Grandpa, Grandpa!" And Grandpa said, "Well, I know, but Jesus," he said, "I know Jesus is with me, but I want something with flesh on." Too many of us are like that. We want God to be there the way we want Him to be there. We don't want God to have His sovereign way with us. We want our way with God paving the way for us. See the difference? When you become a Christian, you become to think like Christ. You want only for the will of the Father to be done on earth. The Holy Spirit enters into your life, which is the second birth. He gives you the direction that you need. He points toward Jesus. He shows you that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. You have no need of fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Will you race toward God today? Or will you check your almanac or check your horoscope? Whatever you do that's in your own mind the thing to do. You know, I was talking a little earlier with somebody from the church who was in my office. We talked a little bit about the mission field, and I remember John Massagno, who was the pastor of First Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. And John used to say that he wanted to be a missionary so bad he could taste it. He wanted to go on the mission field and lead hundreds of thousands of people to know Jesus Christ. He desired that more than anything in his life. He wanted that. And he desired it and desired it and desired it until God brought the world to him. He suddenly realized there are people from every race and every creed right here. You know, Texas is like that. We have 70% of the people that have never known Jesus Christ as their personal Savior right now. We have people that are sitting in church that have never known the power of God. They have a veneer, an inoculation against the real thing. They don't know. God wants us to know. He wants us to tell them. And so whether He has planted you in a nursing facility, or whether He has planted you in a business, or whether He has planted you, wherever you've been planted, at school or wherever. God wants you to be His instrument, His ambassador. That is the purpose for your life. That is the purpose you are here. Someone asked me one time, how do you start a street ministry? I said, well, first you find a street. Then you go out on the street. You look up and down the street. You see who lives there. You watch. You listen. You see whose grass needs to be mowed, and you mow it. You see whose house needs to be painted, and you knock on the door and ask if you can paint their house for free. That's the way you began a street ministry. How do you begin a ministry to the 70% of people who do not know Jesus that live in our state? The same way. The same way.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.